Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast, episode number 117. No, it's not 117. I can't make number redo things correctly. No, it's number 173. Nearly 117. They sound similar, but 173. I am Al, as you have probably noticed. I'm joined this evening by Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. I do love that we went from penalising 5 minutes before recording the show if this is episode 173 to 172, and then you threw me a curveball of 117, keeping us on our toes tonight.
I don't know what's going on. I'm probably not hydrated enough today. I'm just not drunk enough water or something. I'm going to blame that. Yeah. Sadly, we haven't got Mike again this week, but he's doing something really, really cool this week. Currently, right now, he is dressed as a nun. Not because he's sort of, you know, found religion, I'm aware of, anyway. No, he's currently helping the authorities by going undercover in a convent to help foil a criminal gang who've infiltrated the sisterhood. I think he's always quite fancied wearing a habit, however.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be quite good. You know, as you keep me on the toes of what episodes we're on, he's on the toes of the law. Pulse of the criminal justice system.
And that's Mike for you. He's a busy man. He gets up to a lot of things, and he does keep promising us that he'll be back soon. There's just a lot of stuff keeps happening, and means he's been consistently away for the last 4 weeks on various adventures, 5 weeks. It's been a while since we've had Mike, but he is desperately trying to be here. He was nearly here yesterday, but it all fell apart again.
We got real close. We had dates and everything, but you know, the criminal nuns. No limits, and foiled our plans once again.
Indeed. For the record, the nuns themselves aren't criminals. It's the gangs who have infiltrated their system.
Indeed.
They're the criminals. We're not saying there's any criminal nuns out there.
Well, there might be, but not all of them are. Just the one Mike's after.
Anywho, we have had an exciting week. Not really just news-wise, but we finally got the Mug Club mugs out, Anton. People have received them.
If you're not familiar, if you're a Patreon member on our topmost tier, the N64 tier, we do a mug club, and that is every 6 months you get a new shiny mug and or beanie. There was a beanie once, that was just really cool and everybody loved it, but we've got a new mug, and you know, I'm biased, but I'm quite fond of it. I think it looks real good. Everybody seems to be enjoying them. It has some nice bespoke artwork, which we'll hopefully be sharing some images of soon for everyone else, so you can get a little taste of what's in store for Mug Club members.
Indeed, it's been very exciting, and people have loved their mugs. Unfortunately, we did this amazing enamel mug, which is great for going camping with, although having said that, it's far too pretty and nice to take camping, but you could take it camping. It feels like a camping mug, and one of our patrons left to go camping 2 hours before his was delivered.
The fate, how cruel.
I know. But anyway, that was good fun. And we've got a review this week, which is always fun. And probably one of my favourite usernames, for want of a better word, that we've had a review from. So I'm going to read the review and they'll tell you who it's from. So the review was 5 stars, which we always are very grateful for. Thank you very much. It was titled A Great Switch Companion. It says, just got my first Switch OLED and was searching for a Nintendo Switch podcast to help pass the night hours at work. Found these guys. Love the different sections. Rumour mill, newly released upcoming games, etc. Just found out that Dio Field was getting a demo from this podcast, something I wasn't going to spend on because of real-time action, but I might now give it a try. Great podcast. And that was from Poop Cleaner. Thanks, Poop Cleaner. We appreciate that. I would also love to know what you do for a living, that's your username.
Yeah, and, you know, as a night owl, as a Nintendo Switch player and fan, clearly, Poop Cleaner takes after my own heart, which is something that I would never thought I'd say. So thank you very much for the review. We really appreciate all of them. It really helps us. And it helps us get into weird and bizarre charts in regions we didn't even know people listened to the podcast in, which is always a delight.
It's very true. I do love seeing those numbers and random locations when they come in. But we've not only been receiving reviews, We've been posting them too, Anton.
Indeed, the mobile reviews of Reviewception. It's bizarre. It keeps on confusing me every time we're making a little wee dotted list of how we're going to approach the podcast. And especially this week, because we've had three of them. Madness, I know. Louise has been very busy playing some games. That's on our YouTube channel. We have a review of The Big Journey. That is a physics-based platformer, 2D, very cute, very family friendly, so do check out to get the full scoop on that one. We also have a review for Long Live the Queen. That is, I guess, visual novel strategy, oh my god, you're going to die a lot style game anime. It's intense. Do check out the review. That was, you know, we covered it on Roundup, one of our Patreon podcasts. Getting to learn more about that title was a true curveball. And we've also got out today, we've got a review of South of the Circle, which, my god, it's just a gorgeous game to look at. So check out the review and just look at it. That's good enough there. That's enough value. And then we've got the review of the game, and you can get the full scoop of what's hot and what's not.
Fantastic. I need to go check that one out because I've not seen it myself yet. But I'm fascinated because there's been a fair bit of buzz about its launch, so I can't wait to find out whether it lives up to the fuss or not. Intriguing. We should probably cover what we've been playing this week. Anton, have you got a chance to game? Have you done any Nintendo Switching at all?
I have not been Nintendo Switching, I must confess. I did wrap up Sonic Lost Worlds. I did get all of the achievements. I am fully Sonic ready for Sonic Frontiers whenever that comes. Whether it's good or bad. I then moved on to Rogue Legacy 2. It is announced for Nintendo Switch. It was announced like 8 months ago, and I may have broke because it was on sale, and I've already put 9 hours into it. I'm already rank 56, and I so see no means of stopping. I go and I'm like, I'm only going to do one lifespan, and then I like do decades and decades of in-game time. It's amazing. It's a brilliant game. If you're not familiar with the Rogue Legacy concept, it is a roguelite where every time you die, you come back with a different trait. So you might come back as, you know, dyslexic, you might come back as colorblind, you might come back as dyspraxic, you might come back with IBS, and all of it affects the gameplay. And it's one, just incredibly cool to just have different kind of traits every single time, but also seeing how they affect the gameplay. Some of them are simple, like the color blindness. It kind of gives a color blindness effect. Some of them are really hard. At one time I came as an archer that was short-sighted. That was awful. But you do get a bonus for the difficulty of them, so it always ends up being quite fun.
Wow, that sounds epic and frustrating. And I'm not sure I'd like it. I'm going to stick to what I've been doing, which is playing a lot of Kirby with Sun. Really enjoying that. It's such a good co-op game. And a lot more Mario Kart 8. We've done quite a bit of Mario Kart 8, actually, this week. We've done all the new courses a couple of times over. They're good. They are really good. I'm loving the extra content in that game that we're getting. It's giving a whole new lease of life because it sat gathering dust in my collection for quite a while. And this has dragged it back out and put it front and centre on the TV.
Indeed. It's been quite fun, Kelv. I'm yet to dive in properly because I've already losing myself to video games every second that I'm not playing, and I'm just like, I don't have any more minutes to lose. But I am very excited because I loved the first wave, and it's been very exciting to see on our Discord channel that we have for the patrons what tracks people have been picking as their favorite, because it's not unanimous at all. It's seemingly quite a widespread, which has been quite nice to see.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has agreed on a single course yet. The closest we got was someone said they liked Moo Moo Farm, and I went, yeah, I like Moo Moo Farm, but I don't know if it's my favourite. And that's one of the old tracks, but I mean, we've got tracks from all over the place. People just love a whole variety, and that's why we all love Mario Kart. It's such a good game for everybody.
Yeah, I would love it once the full game's done, we do like a tier list. You know, we do like brackets, you know, we go through it, we do multiple layers, and we get like the Nintendo Switch UK podcast approved Mario Kart track.
Hear me out. It needs to form part of our annual awards.
I was thinking
best track released that year.
Yeah, it might need to be the 2023 one, because I think we need to do it once the full set's out. And we do it a couple months before.
Ah, see, I like doing the first wave at the end of that. Do one at the end of the second wave for just the second wave, and then one for overall.
Mm, All right. All right. We can do like just the waves for this year. And then we can maybe look at doing the full whammy next year.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You know what else we should do?
Get into the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
Okay. First up, Tank Creative Studio have announced Jitsu Squad for the Switch. Published by Innin Games, it's a beat-em-up brawler coming out quarter four of 2022. So that's kind of imminent then, Anton.
Indeed. And yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. It has got very eccentric, I guess, cartoon characters. Not quite anime. A lot of anthropomorphic style characters. In my eyes, I'm not in love with it. It's four-player co-op. It's apparently inspired by Marvel vs. Capcom, although I'm not seeing those strings at all. I'm not loving this one, sadly, which I'm sad to say.
See, this is where we need Mike, because I'm going to be negative as well. We need someone to balance out the negativity, Anton. I know where you're coming from. It doesn't look bad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not dumping all over it. That's not what I'm saying here. But it looks like it's lacking something. It's frantic, it's colourful, it's cartoony, but it's kind of got that same thing then. When I played Samurai Riot with Mike, neither of us was particularly fond of the graphics. We thought it looked a bit Flash-esque. And this has that same sort of aesthetic. Just the way they've chosen to do it just doesn't look quite modern. And I'm sure the game is really good fun, but we've got a lot of good beat-em-ups. We've had Streets of Rage, we've had the Turtles, and Mike and I are massive fans of the Turtles Shredder's Revenge. It is now our benchmark for all beat-em-ups. And this one looks like it's better than some, but it's nowhere near Turtles.
Yeah, to be honest, I think most games aren't near Turtles, but yeah, still. You know, I think it would work as like an Apple Arcade-style title, but I don't think on the Nintendo Switch, where we've got some of the best in the business, it's going to stand out.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action-adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Okay, Thunderful Games and Clockstone Studios have announced LEGO Bricktales for the Switch, published by the LEGO Group. It's a building puzzle game coming out again quarter four of this year. And, well, everyone knows I've got a bit of a soft spot for LEGO, even more of a soft spot when you put it into a video game, even more when you put it in a soft spot with a video game with amazing graphics and beautiful lighting like the last LEGO puzzle game we got, I forgot what it was called, earlier this year. But this one just looks really good. Anton.
Indeed, it's kind of amazing to see LEGO diversifying in video games. They've got almost three spans of it. We have the kind of franchise style titles in the form of LEGO Star Wars. We have the, I guess, tactile titles such as LEGO's Baldur's Journey and now LEGO Bricktales. And then kind of, I guess, some of the other oddities like LEGO Worlds and their own original ideas. But I must say, it is amazing that it has taken us so long for a LEGO game to really emphasize building. This has very much Kerbal Space Program vibes of you're just putting things together and sometimes it goes off the rails and a bit wrong. And I love it. And, you know, I was incredibly impressed by the tactile feel and aesthetic, and especially the graphics. Like, you could run LEGO Builder's Journey with, like, RTX graphics at 8K. You could really get the bee's knees out of that title. And, however, it was quite a simple one. So now, I think with Bricktales, they've taken a really good engine and foundation that they had established with Builder's Journey, and they're elevating it to the next level and making more of a game out of it, something that will stand out not just on mobile, but on other platforms as well, as a kind of more complete experience, not to knock Builder's Journey, which is just a great game, but a lot more simple.
yeah, I can't wait to get my teeth into this one. It just looks so good, kind of merging story and puzzling with, as you say, building things to solve these puzzles. And you put things together and it will probably not work. I mean, the example they've got in their demo is put together a helicopter. You look, given all the pieces at the beginning, you've got to build a helicopter, and if you don't build it, presumably one of several right ways, it just flies off and crashes. So I just love this. It looks like it'd be very frustrating, but I can't wait to get my teeth into it. I'm stoked, I think is the word. Up next, Kinmoku have announced Videoverse for the Yeah, it is Videoverse for the Nintendo Switch, a decision-based narrative adventure, which looks odd, Anton.
Indeed. Now, we will preface this with the point that it is seemingly very, very early in the promotional cycle for this game, as so far they haven't shown the most and we don't have a date or even a window in frame yet. And if you want to draw instant comparisons, you're probably looking at Hypnospace Outlaw. It is very much Web 1.0 inspired, with hints of 2.0. You're using social media that is kind of more 90s stripped back, and it's going to be through the internet and this kind of retro version of it, you're going to be going through this story. This is going to have to rely heavily on the story. It's been interesting to see these titles popping up because, in my mind, they feel like a more contemporary adaptation of what's been done with, you know, the older 80s text-based adventure games, but kind of given a kind of more kind of retro synth wave aesthetic and packaging to it.
Yeah, it's a really weird one. I should probably get you to explain something. So when they announced this game, they announced that it was basically inspired by Miiverse. So for those who don't know what Miiverse is, Anton, give us the explanation of what Miiverse was.
Yes, so Miiverse was a service that initially started on Nintendo Wii U. It was its own dedicated app that you could go in there and use like a social media. Every game had its own like feed, so people could go in there and write little notes, they could ask for tips, they could do little drawings. That was a big part of it, is you could just draw and those would pop up in the feed. It also had game integration, so if you're in like a particular level of Super Mario Maker and, you know, the designer was a little bit mean and put a trap somewhere, you could draw a little Miiverse note and kind of almost like pin it to the wall in that level, and that would help you. Similarly in Zombie U, if there was like ammo around the corner, you could put a little wee Miiverse pulse and like draw with your stylus, be like, yeah, there's some ammo around here, you know, go check in that filing cabinet. And it also came to 3DS later, and it seems like their idea of social media that they're kind of portraying within of this 90s rapper is very much borrowing elements of that drawing aspect, which would be nice to see on Nintendo Switch with its stylus.
I guess we're going to have to wait and see when it appears, because, as you say, we don't really know much about this game other than the fact it's been announced and that was their inspiration for it. So watch this space, as we like to say. Next up, Calypso have announced Commandos 3 HD Remaster for the Switch. It's, well, fun enough, it's a sequel to Commandos and Commandos 2, World War II real-time strategy title. I think we actually looked at maybe Commandos when it got launched and thought that the text on the screen was really, really small when you're trying to do it in handheld, and it didn't really work as a port. But looking at this one, it looks like they've maybe addressed some of those concerns. It looks better.
Indeed, yeah, I believe it was Commandos 2 that we looked at, and it was, you know, fundamentally it is a PC game. It's very much like, I remember just looking in like PC magazines like in the early 2000s, and this is the sort of stuff you were looking at. And, you know, this is their third game that they've ported over to Nintendo Switch, so hopefully they've been able to get some of that polish in there, or kind of implement some of that experience over kind of porting the title. But it's not going to be the most mobile friendly. And from memory, I think this one was just okay. I think Commandos 2 was the best of the trilogy. So if you're interested in getting kind of a serious PC like RTS on Nintendo Switch, maybe go for the titles already out on Nintendo Switch. You might be able to get a deal on it now that it's been out for a while.
That's not bad advice. There you go, purchasing advice from our Anton. Okay, I don't know quite what to think, make of this next one. So Digital Melody have announced Timberman: The Big Adventure for Nintendo Switch. It's a retro 2D platformer out now for $4.49, and I mean, it's very retro and it's very bizarre and very weird, and I can't decide if this is shovelware or genius. It's walking a very fine line.
Yeah, it's an odd one. Or not odd, it's an odd one to decipher in terms of a critical point. It does look fairly quality. It is just clean, tidy pixel art. The platforming looks good. I think the kind of lumberjack man and slightly anthropomorphic bear are a charming duo. And that's kind of it. You know, it's not got any hooks that's really pushing it above that for me. But I must say, it's going to be a very cheap game. I believe it's $5 in the United States. So probably, you know, £3.99, £5 here in the United Kingdom. And for that sort of price, I'm quite happy with it. I would be happy to pass on the cash for it because it looks like it's a fairly solid one. It looks quite charming overall.
I think that's probably how you describe it, wouldn't it be? It's a solid old school platformer that's not trying to reinvent anything. It's not trying to do anything new at all. I think it's trying to do old stuff well. But are they actually playing it? We don't know. We just know that you can go and find out now because, well, it's been released. It was announced and released just like that. And if you don't want to play that, well, if you've got the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack, I think is what they call it, Expansion Pass, whatever the Nintendo version of it's called, you now get Wave Race 64 included in that. And I have very fond memories of Wave Race 64. Did you ever play that, Anton?
I did, and I must say, I always love revisiting Wave Race because it's always one of those games, as somebody that didn't grow up with an N64, it can fall a little bit down the N64 tier list just because it was a console filled with so many extraordinary titles. But when I go back to it, I'm always astounded that the render distance is unintrusive, the water physics are incredible, they look quite good, the waves. I think admittedly just because the most polygons are going into the kind of jet skis themselves, it looks stunning. And it was quite exciting to see on social media, I don't know if you saw this, Al, you know, the people that did Fast Racing RMX and the Tourists, they were like throwing out like a little bit of love at Nintendo, like, you know, it'd be really nice if, you know, we got commissioned to make a new Wave Race game. which, you know, I would love that. You know, all their games have been brilliant and they have a long-standing relationship with Nintendo. Shinen Multimedia, I believe they are. Something like that. Shinen, I'm not too sure on the pronunciation of their title. They're a great team. That would be a great game to see if they ever got the IP. Not knowing if Nintendo would do that.
I don't know if they would or not. I mean, it's such a niche, obscure thing. Would it work now? There's so many games out there that kind of treaded on its toes that I don't know if a modern Wave Race would work. It was a launch title for the console, I think, and it was showcasing how the console worked. It just didn't exist anywhere else, and it was cool. But would it work now on the Switch? I don't know.
I think
I'd love to see it, actually. Yeah. Go make it. Tell us.
I think the one place it would work is, looking back, we've had Wave Race 64 and we had the Wave Race Blue Storm, was it, on the GameCube? And that, I think it looks like an early 360 title, the one on the GameCube. That was an astoundingly gorgeous game for its time, and that was a launch title for the GameCube. To be honest, it was a little lame content. I remember the multiplayer not quite living up to the hype, but it was a technical showcase. And maybe, like, you know, for a Switch Pro or whatever succeeds the Nintendo Switch, you know, Fast Racing RMX near the launch of the Nintendo Switch was one of the best looking games on the console. Maybe they could do like a technical showcase piece. That is the only way I could see it working.
Wow, that'd be great. If they made one, I'd be fairly happy. I would not be complaining. Okay, let's talk about Horizon Chase Turbo, because it's getting a free adventure mode update, adding 34 skins, 170 new tracks, 8 hours of continuous racing, and new challenges. God, blimey, that's practically a whole new game.
Oh my god, I know. I was kind of just looking at that, and I was like, why not do a sequel? You've clearly got the manpower to put together 170 new tracks. That's a lot of content. Won't lie, it does give me a little bit of caution about its quality and quantity and quality. But they have no reason to give me any doubt because they've done great things in the past. They haven't done a dud so far. So, you know, presuming it is good, my God, this is a huge update. And I'd be very happy for people that are at the, you know, max playtime for Horizon Chase Turbo because you're getting a whole new salami of content.
A whole new salami. We're really good at coming up with phrases when Mike's not here. We just invent words left, right, and center.
You know, we're slick. We've got that radio charm.
We need him back. We need him back so badly. Okay, the accidentally released Advanced Wars 1 and 2 reboot camp was down for scheduled maintenance, and that's kind of led some fans to believe we might be hearing some news soon, because it's not been officially released, but some people have it.
Indeed. So to kind of catch people up on the story, if you're not 100% up to date, this game has been delayed 3 or 4 times. First party Nintendo. Somebody at Nintendo didn't update the preload kind of window for it. So people that had the game pre-ordered and, you know, were able to preload it and download it before they kind of closed the gate on that. So people had it out in the wild, and yeah, for this little period of time it was down for maintenance, and it's been out in the wild for a very, very long time. I believe we spoke about it being, you know, the kind of world climate being one of the issues, but it's an American team, so yeah, hopefully they've been had a little bit of stability to kind of get back to it and get this game over to us, because there are so many people that are craving a new installment in the Advance Wars franchise in any form.
Indeed, some of them are in our Discord. We have had quite a few people lamenting its delay because they're just desperate to get their hands on it. They think it's a wonderful game. So, yep, it'd be great to get them out at some point in the near future. Our next story we've also kind of mentioned before, and again, we're going to build on it. So I think maybe last week or the week before, we talked about Nintendo of America being in hot water. They've been pulled up in front of one of the panels. This week, a report from Kotaku has announced that, or has alleged that, I should say, Nintendo of America is suffering from a culture of sexual harassment and discrimination. It basically says that Nintendo of America uses a contracting firm called Aerotech, and the concerns over sexual harassment and discrimination raised by Aerotech contractors to Aerotech higher-ups have been downplayed and not passed on to Nintendo of America due to fear of repercussions. It's not so good. It seems to be Nintendo full-time employees, that's the red badge holders for those followed of this story, have been abusing their power over the contractors, the white badge holders, with various former members of staff describing workplace as basically a frat house. Doug Bowser has responded, stating that they're conducting an investigation and encouraging staff and contractors to contact HR with any concerns, which I would expect nothing less from Doug Bowser. He's kind of picked up this beast and is presumably still in the process of trying to clear up his house, perhaps. But it's a concerning story, Anton.
Indeed. And this has been a mounting issue that we've been covering from Nintendo, and this has taken the seriousness of the issue up a level. I think it's going to be interesting seeing how Aerotech kind of acts in the space, if their relationship changes with Nintendo or if it stays in place. Also, this is not, you know, a part of Nintendo that is talked about. So, you know, we might never hear their name again in the context of Nintendo. But yeah, it's very troubling. And, you know, that is one of the sad things is yeah, if they're got, let's say, 30% of their contractors going to one business, sadly, they wouldn't. Might be scared of, you know, losing that job over a single incident, which is awful to see for the actual people getting hurt in these situations.
Yeah, it's a very unpleasant situation, and it's one that, unfortunately, we've been hearing more often in the games industry. It just makes you wonder how much else is yet to come out, particularly when, well, it's particularly upsetting when it surrounds sort of our family favourite brands of Nintendo, but I guess all will be hopefully revealed as things progress through, well, inevitable courts, and I suspect a lot of this will end up in the public domain anyway, but it might all get hushed up and settled behind closed doors one way or another. I don't know. In different news, there's been yet more purchasing going on. So in the last, a couple of years, we've heard of so many gaming acquisitions, companies buying up companies left, right and centre, and this week was no different because Embracer Group have announced that they're acquiring not just one company, but a slew. They have bought Limited Run Games, Tripwire Interactive, Tuxedo Labs, Singtrix, and the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit IPs, to name but a few, in addition to all the stuff that they already own, which is just an eye-watering list of stuff. It includes, Anton, you probably know better than I do, but they own everything from Lara Croft through to, I looked at the list earlier in the week and went, wow, they own everything.
Indeed. This is one of the most understated but aggressively growing companies in the video game industry, and it is amazing that their name hasn't came to the tip of people's tongues more. They own so many companies that you'll be familiar with but not know that they're owned by a bigger company. THQ Nordic is one of their biggest ones that we know on Nintendo Switch. We have Coffee Stain Studios, and it's interesting to see, I think, especially within of this one, them slowly getting into IP has been very interesting. As you mentioned, they kind of brought up, I think it was Crystal Dynamics, the team behind Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, and now the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit IP. So they've got this wealth of talent that they've been building up for years and years and years, and now they're getting the big games to kind of really elevate these teams that, you know, do great games, such as Tripwire Interactive. They've made the Killing Floor games, if you're familiar. But kind of giving them the IPs to maybe reach a bigger audience. And yeah, I'm interested to see what the long-term vision for this company is. They mentioned when acquiring Limited Run Games that the big part in that is getting distribution channels opened up to them, having their own kind of manufacturing for their own titles, which they have a part of that with THQ Nordic, but clearly they have a much broader plan and vision for themselves. A lot of their studios kind of sit and cover that AA level, such as THQ Nordic. So I don't know, do you see them maybe expanding to AAA, or do you think they're just going to cover this kind of mid-tier?
I think with a lot of the IPs they've got, they are almost obliged to go to the AAA level. I mean, as you said, they've got all the Lara Croft stuff, but in their portfolio, they've got Deus Ex, they've got, I found the list I was looking at before, they have Wreckfest, they've got Red Faction, they've got Time Splitters in there, they've got Saints Row. They have some huge names in there, some really, really big heavy hitters. So for what started off as a fairly small Swedish company and is now in a ridiculously large Swedish company, I suspect we're going to hear a lot more from them in the future.
Yeah.
And I do think them, it's not so much I think, I do wonder what they're going to do with Limited Run, whether they will keep Limited Run and operate it in the same way it was and also use it to churn out their own physical media. Or will Limited Run cease to do what they have done in the past? Or will they literally just asset strip and use it to do their own stuff and stop producing limited runs of indie games? I'm worried about that.
Yeah, it appears that they're already kind of doing that large-scale stuff. They own Gearbox Studios, so Borderlands Peoples, they've got Saber Interactive, so they're kind of already at that huge level. Deep Silver, working on the new Dead Island.
They've got Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem, my God. So yeah, it's going to be interesting if they're going to keep these all as in kind of separate branches of, you know, there's many different developers under THQ Nordic as a publisher. Are they going to keep them in their own multiple publisher brackets, or if there's ever going to be an Embracer moment when they kind of try and position themselves like an EA or an Activision or a Ubisoft? Definitely they're going to be a name we're going to be chatting about a lot more in future when it comes to gaming.
I reckon so. However, they're not involved in this next title, which is Splatoon 3 news. So we have learned it's going to be using the NPLN system, which is Nintendo's new in-house server system, and it's going to be using AMD's Fidelity FX Super Resolution, but importantly 1.0 and not 2.0. Tell us why that's important.
Indeed. So first, touching on the Nintendo NPLN system, this was a new netcode that they developed. I believe first title they employed it with was Monster Hunter Rise 2. And that is basically the back end that makes the game run. The new one is going to be enabling a bunch of stuff that the old version, which had been in play since the dawn of the 3DS in 2011, just could not do. And that's being enabled with the new lobbies, which are going to be interactive and basically like a hub for people to drop in, and we'll have all the shared assets. Great to see, and will hopefully make the game far more reliable. I've already seen people begging Sakurai to add it to Smash Bros, but he's not involved with that at the moment, so we'll leave that to him. The AMD Fidelity FX Super Resolution 1.0 is very, very exciting. So basically, if you're not familiar, this will be taking a game, and rather than running it at the 720p or 1080p that the Nintendo Switch will output to most users, it will be rendering the game at, let's say, 480, 360p, using that additional resolution headroom to make the game of a higher quality or fidelity, adding more items, adding more particle effects, doing all that stuff, and then using a very advanced upscaling architecture. I don't believe it's AI. I think it is just an algorithm. It is just going ahead and then bumping that up to the higher resolutions, but reconstructed with the knowledge of how the game is being made. So unlike just upscaling it blanketly, you know, you would be upscaling, you know, for instance, trees the same way you would be upscaling text. And not all parts of the game require the same level of upscaling in the same way, because it will break it. You know, things that are meant to be slightly out of focus, like depth of field, will somehow become edgy if you just do the wrong form of anti-aliasing and upscaling to it. So having a solution like AMD FX Super Resolution will enable Nintendo to upscale just the right parts of the game, just the right way, so it looks like a native 720p and 1080p game. And this has been a technology I've been able to take advantage of recently on the Valve Steam Deck. And wow, it really does wonders for allowing you to get so much more performance from games. And in the case of Nintendo, get more fidelity out of games running at lower resolutions, which is very exciting to see, Al.
It is. It's so much more detail and so much more speed. Because it's all being rendered at a lower resolution than upscaled, you get great frame rates with these things as well. It's transformative. It's a bit like, maybe it's not like it, but it's analogous to the Super FX chip in the SNES. When they developed that, all of a sudden it just bumped games up from a good level to a great level, amazing level. This is kind of that same kind of leap in technology in the middle of a system. It doesn't change anything, but it changes everything at the same time.
Indeed, it is very great to see, because I knew something that we saw with the Xbox One and PS4 generation is because developers were so familiar with the x86 architecture, they hit a point where, you know, when we started the generation, all the games looked fantastic, and because developers had already learned how to exploit everything they could from x86 architecture, there wasn't that, you know, we've learned how to use the architecture moment for that generation of consoles that we saw with, you know, the 7th, 6th and 5th generation of, by the end of the generation, games look a lot better because they're already familiar with exploiting the architecture. And the Nintendo Switch has seen that a little. However, it's incredibly new technologies and AIs and algorithms like this that is allowing developers to get even more out of the Nintendo Switch as it goes later into its life, which is just incredibly resourceful and exciting to see that despite the age of the Nintendo Switch, tricks like this is getting discovered, or not discovered, developed to really amplify that.
It's very cool. It's a nice return to the history of gaming. I'm thoroughly enjoying that and can't wait to see what comes out of it, frankly. We have hit a new milestone in the world of Legend of Zelda this week. I don't know if it's a good one, to be honest. In fact, it probably isn't. It's been the longest ever gap in between brand new releases for the Legend of Zelda series since the first game was released back in 1986. The previous record for the longest time between releases was between Link's Awakening and the Ocarina of Time, and that took 5 years, 5 months, and 15 days. We have now passed that since we got Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, which is a bit sad, isn't it? You know, that means that, you know, the leap that was taken between Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, the leap that was between Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword, or even the leap between Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild, you know, very, very different games. It's taken them longer to develop Breath of the Wild 2. And that's amazing because it took them so long with various delays to get Breath of the Wild 1 ready. So that was already a game that was long in the tooth when it came to development, and it's taken this game even longer to come along. Obviously, you know, despite all the delays for Breath of the Wild, it was worth it a millionfold. So I have no doubt that the same next one will be the bee's knees, but I really wonder with the shared kind of fundamentals with Breath of the Wild, what all of this new development is going towards.
I had exactly the same thought. I was thinking, I mean, as you said, they're using the same engine. As far as I'm aware, they're probably going to be using roughly the same world map, but expanded greatly, I presume. I don't really know. I'm just speculating here because, I mean, Hyrule is Hyrule. That's going to be changing and moving to a different place. Who knows what they're going to do with it? But yeah, a lot of that development time would have been creating the engines, creating the physics, creating all that stuff. And it's being reused. So they're clearly spending a lot of time on new stuff. And that's really exciting. Just in case anyone wants to sort of nitpick, we're not including Hyrule Warriors here. That's a Warriors game. It's not a Legend of Zelda game. Albeit it's using Legend of Zelda IP. Complicated.
Yeah. But nevertheless, we're excited to see whether or not at the Nintendo Switch UK Podcast Awards 2022, whether or not the Legend of Zelda Untitled sequel will win Most Anticipated Game of the Year again.
I think it's won every single year, is it not?
It just has.
All right. Our last story in news is that Horai, or Hori, or however you pronounce their name, but I've never quite figured out. I'm going to go with Horai. They've announced their SplitPad Pro Fit. Yet another addition to their range of amazing controllers. This one is a slim ergonomic controller which features back buttons. The controller lacks HD rumble, NFC and wireless functions, but it is slim, and that's the important thing.
Indeed, this is quite an odd product in my eyes. It's, you know, I have ranted and raved about the Hori SplitPad Pro. It is a more ergonomic version of the Joy-Cons. It has full size 6, it has programmable buttons, it has a turbo mode. And the SplitPad Pro Fit is a middle ground between the ergonomics of the original, which is very much, you know, you need a bag to carry that one around, and a normal Joy-Con. And I won't lie, I don't know if it works out very well. I think it's too big for, you know, it's too big to replace Joy-Cons. It's not as ergonomic to be the ergonomic option. And I think with those controller compromises, I feel like not succeeding at, you know, being that more ergonomic version, I'm not too sure if people are going to go for this one. It seems like it's kind of missed the mark, or I don't know who the audience is for this one.
I think this is the first time I've ever heard you down on a Hori pad announcement. I kind of get it, because I have bought many, many Joy-Cons. They keep breaking, and it's driving me nuts. But if you want to play your Switch in handheld mode, just carry it around, I can kind of see this as being a sort of useful option for you. Just pop them on and just leave them on. You don't necessarily need to take them off. And that's kind of where I'm at, and kind of, depending on the price, I don't think they've announced the price for them, but that would be an option I would consider for buying Joy-Cons, because my Joy-Cons from Nintendo keep breaking. Stupid
yeah,
things.
I wouldn't lie. I was considering a world where Joy-Cons actually survived more than a couple of years. So, yep, I'm convinced these are brilliant.
Didn't take much. All right, let's leap straight into turbo mode.
Yes.
I'm going to rattle through them as usual, and then I'll ask you to expand on any you want to talk about. So, In Other Waters is getting physical release, courtesy of One Print One Games. Fortnite is getting a new Dragon Ball event. Sega adds Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, and Sonic Team Racing to a bundle for just $64.99. Just $64.99? I'm sure Antle have thought on that. Reggie Fils-Aimé has shared that Nintendo was working on a creative accessibility controller that used Xbox's adaptive controller as a jumping-off point to create something that would be platform-agnostic and adaptable to any consumer. Our friend Masahiro Sakurai has shared a glimpse of his updated gaming setup through some awesome pictures. The Nintendo Switch console box will be reduced in size by 20% to reduce logistics costs.
There's been a free Quake update, which adds Capture the Flag mod, mode, I should say, and Mario Kart Tour, my favourite Mario Kart game, is updated. And this week we are getting a Bowser theme, which is added Bowser's Castle 3. I wonder if we'll get that in one of the later waves of Mario Kart 8. Animal Crossing New Horizons gets a La Tomatina event. I really need to start playing that game, but I presume that means something to other people. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night gets a Journey crossover boss event, which is kind of cool. And Todd Gill has announced Rotate on Kickstarter, a 3D printed Nintendo Switch stand which can be disassembled and rotates. As of the 22nd of August, which was, I think, yesterday when I wrote this, the Kickstarter has gained more than $7,000 of its $10,000 goal, and it has 26 days to go. The product has a stretch goal of $100,000, which will see Rotate being produced via injection moulding. Okay, Anton, what in that lot do you want to talk about?
So I think you alluded to very rightly, the Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, and Teen Sonic Racing bundle is being described as an ultimate bundle. As it stands, you can buy all of those games on sale on the eShop for about £25 whenever it's on sale, and they're on sale fairly regularly, and you could probably get them physically for vaguely, maybe not that price, maybe like £40. Do not buy this bundle at retail price. Hopefully it gets sales like the games themselves. We've got that 3D printing stand. I think it looks real good. I hope it hits 100,000, because just with injection molding would take it to the next level. But for the people that really love their Rotate games, that will be wonderful. The La Tomatoing event is fantastic for our Spanish friends out there. Not too sure on the exact details of the tradition, but who doesn't love throwing tomatoes? And Capture the Flag, my god, what a classic game of the arena shooter arena. And Quake, that remake is absolutely brilliant, and I believe my prediction will be that the new Nintendo Switch console box, this is for the red box kind of classic Nintendo Switch, will probably just be the kind of dimensions of the Switch OLED box, is my prediction for that one. Just made a little bit smaller. How about yourself, Al? What do you think?
I have to say that's exactly what I thought they were going to do as well. That just because the OLED box was already smaller than the original, it just makes sense to standardize that from a shipping, packing, manufacturing point of view. It's a no-brainer. I totally expect that's exactly what they're going to do too. I wanted to talk about, well, there's two things in there I want to talk about. One was just if you've not played In Other Waters, go and check it out. It is an amazing game. When it got reviewed and released, it was just basically blowing all reviewers away. It was just super, it was just such a super game. And yet, so simple. It's basically like 2-3 colours. It's like green, grey and yellow. And you use this very, very flat tabletop interface to explore an ocean. That's it. You don't see the ocean, you just see little dots. But the narrative that goes through it is just so compelling, and it's such a calming game that everybody agrees, universally, go and play this game. If you can get physical now, go do that. If you can't find it physically, just go buy it and play it from somewhere else. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. And the other one I want to talk about was Sakurai's gaming setup. So I take it you've looked at the pictures.
Indeed,
you've seen
indeed.
What he's done.
Yeah.
So he's got two giant sort of display cabinets, which he's got a whole lot of consoles all stacked nicely, neatly in. But the Switch, controversially, the dock isn't upright, Anton. The dock is horizontal. He's got the dock lying down. He did have to issue a statement saying, the manufacturer does not officially recommend this. Do so at your own risk. But it worked for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just brilliant, the controversy that he's created from by sharing this picture.
It troubles me in a deep down way. And the thing that got me is it is a custom built cabinet. So he put in the space to have the PS, you know, the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 up vertically, which is something you don't need to do, even if the Xbox Series X looks kind of weird on its belly. However, the Nintendo Switch, put it down flat. I wonder if it's just maybe he's worked so much with Nintendo Switch, he's over the years, he's just confident in that being okay. But the mad lad, what are you doing?
I'd just be worried if sort of didn't connect properly. I mean, I sort of feel that gravity helps pull it down onto the connector.
Yeah.
On its side, it's like, it just feels wrong. Sakurai, what are you doing? Stop it.
He must have mates from Nintendo coming over for like, just like some games or dinner. What do they must think? Must hurt them.
I'll bet you they talk about him behind his back. They must do. What's that crazy guy doing?
What would Shigeru Miyamoto think? What? You don't want to upset him.
No, definitely not. Okay, that was it. That was Turbo Mode. Let's jump into our rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
We have two this week. They are actually rumours, not rumour, which I think we've had for the last few weeks. So the first up we've got is that is Amazon... Oh, Al cannot do speaking. First up is that Amazon has leaked new Tales from the Borderland might be coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Indeed, and yeah, you know, I'm very excited to see the rabbit hole that we get down here. It would be lovely to get a successor, as the original Tales of the Borderlands was quite a delightful title, very charming, and one of the better of the Telltale games before they went bust. And the cel-shaded visuals, as we've seen with the Borderlands Handsome Jack collection, does lend itself very, very well to being downscaled and resized for different platforms. So excited to chat more about this in future.
That would be very cool. And no, they were great games when they came out. A lot of people really liked them. And it's a Borderlands. They're just fun. They're stupid and fun and great and wonderful. Such a great IP. It's nice. It's nice when you get new IPs to come along that stick. They're rare. But the Borderlands is one of the last ones I feel that sort of appeared and has done really, really well. I'm sure we've had more since then, but to me, Borderlands is still new, even though it's like 20 years old by now, probably.
Yeah, I guess it's a lovely one because it's not came from any of the big boys. It's a relatively mid-tier, you know, when it came out, you know, I don't think many people were really eyeing up Gearbox as like one of the biggest names, but them combined with the muscle of 2K games, yeah, they really became some big fish.
They did indeed. All right, well, our other rumour this week has come via a Taiwanese shop where details of Sonic Frontiers have leaked, including some new and returning characters, Anton.
Indeed, it was a full poster spread, and it's basically confirming that although Sonic seems to be alone, abandoned in this new mysterious world, he is not without his friends. Tails, Knuckles and Amy look to be at least returning, and then they show this new little stone fellow, so... we'll need to see more about that title. I believe they're going to be showing a little bit of this title at Gamescom. So next week on the podcast, we'll be sure to keep you up to date with all what's going on with this game that might or might not actually be functional.
Where's your level of trepidation / excitement sitting at the moment? Because it's gone up and down. You've been all over the place, depending on what the latest piece of announcement's been.
So there is the Sonic cycle. And... theoretically, this one should be the bad one. However, that means the last one should have been the good one, and I don't think it was that good. So, you know, the Sonic cycle is already kind of derailed. There are elements I like. I like the idea of the actual levels look pretty good. The open world looks a bit barren and doesn't feel like it's necessary. However, there's a lot of potential of an open world with Sonic. So, it's probably just going to be okay. And that, I'm all right with that. That's all I need.
Fair enough. I'm sure when Mike comes back, he'll give us his feelings. He's probably excited because, you know, Sonic. But, well, don't know. We'll find out when he returns in due course. What else do we need to cover, Anton? We've talked about Patreon. We've not talked about emailing us, but you can do that on podcast@nsukp.co.uk. We have definitely talked about YouTube and all the awesome reviews that have been dropped on there. Have we mentioned socials?
And I think that's a beautiful way to tie it all together. So if you want to keep in touch with everything that we do, be in the know when we drop a new review, when we drop a new Patreon show, when we drop the new main show, and when we've got anything else happening in and about, you can learn more about that at nsukp.co.uk. Podcasts. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on the email, which you've already mentioned as well.
Superb. In that case, I don't think there's anything much left to say but to draw us to a close by saying cheerio!
Au revoir!